Okay, Rishi, two rounds of the season are over. 3 weeks until we race in Shanghai. What's been happening?
You're pretty good, man. You'll take my job. That's Kunal. I'm Rishi Kapoor. I'm an RJ. He's a Formula One expert. And we both get together on this blog. And I must tell you, he has been taking some radio jockey lessons. He's going to fire me someday from my radio station. Like he said, two rounds are over. We're anticipating a great Chinese Grand Prix. We've been disappointed with a few results, but Fernando Alonso, bravo!
Yes, leading the world championship. Did you expect that?
With the shittiest car on earth. I mean, that Ferrari is the ugliest looking, worst performing. Williams is beating them.
Yes, but remember I told you, never write them off.
They have Alonso. They have the most complete driver on the grid. And let me tell you something. I personally feel that Alonso sacrifices qualifying setup for a wet setup. Do you think that's true?
I think it's more for a race setup because, you know, this year's tyres, this year's qualifying, etc., that's there. Uh-huh. There is more focus on race pace, like you've seen with the Red Bulls.
Correct.
Like you've seen with the Williams as well. Of
Correct.
Course, they've been quick in qualifying as well.
Correct.
Like you've seen possibly the McLarens not have as well.
Ah.
So, it's about race pace this year. Maybe so, you know, Fernando's realized, and I'm sure everyone at Ferrari, that you'd rather gun for the checkered flag on Sunday than on glory on Saturday.
No points for Saturday, but one person who's got the same points in both the races is Lewis Hamilton. So the first race, he looked like a grumpy pumpkin at P3. This race, he was equally like happy, like, I'm satisfied I got some points.
You know, McLarens have had fabulous one race pace.
Uh-huh.
You know, you've seen that over pre-season testing.
Correct.
And the, you know, the FP1s and FP2s that happened.
Uh-huh.
The difference, of course, is Button takes the cake in the races because it's all down to tyre management.
Absolutely. What happens now? Because Alonso is at one end of the grid and Massa, I don't even know if he has any points whatsoever. Why is it going so wrong? Massa has been like a contender for championships in the past. He's really developed Ferrari well. Where's it all gone?
If I can read this right, I think it's a lot to do with mindset. I think he's just been devastated with the way things have been with him for the last couple of seasons,
Correct.
Maybe more. And of course, you know, he does have number two driver treatment. So, somewhere that's just affecting him.
Ah, but the thing is, the future Ferrari driver, Sergio Perez, Checo, oh my God, I think he called Harry Potter to set his car up, suddenly coming like 1.5 seconds off the Ferrari every lap. Wow.
Are you sure he's a future Ferrari driver? Are you betting for or against it?
I want him to because he's talented, but yeah, I have a little soft corner for Massa. I don't want bad things to happen to him, but Checo was good.
Of course, he was fabulous. I mean, the Sauber was quicker than the Ferrari in all conditions in Malaysia.
Correct.
And of course, it was just down to driver error, I believe, where, you know, Perez unfortunately couldn't go and challenge for the lead. But like you said, he was pulling off, you know, large chunks every lap of, you know, into Fernando's lead.
See, Kunal, we're friends, okay? There's nothing to hide. If you think Ferrari has somewhere got the decision through to Sauber that he should not overtake Alonso, you can spit it out. Yeah, nobody's gonna, you know.
Frankly, nobody's ever gonna know. But it, of course, seems like that to a lot of people, a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. Sauber's been very close to Ferrari. They run Ferrari engines, and Perez is a Ferrari driver academy, junior driver and stuff. So you never know. But hey, it was a great race. So let's just, you know, enjoy the results.
It was a brilliant race. Now, my focus also went to a man called Naren Karthikeyan, who got a lot of TV footage. I think between him and Vettel, it was like a racing incident. I wouldn't actually call it a crash.
Frankly, I don't see, you know, Naren as being the guy who was on fault in both occasions. We already know Button apologized. As for Vettel, a lot of people have been saying in the last couple of days, he was just emotional and he said it. Because I don't think Naren can't make his car disappear, as, you know, people have been saying on
Absolutely.
The internet.
Absolutely. Everybody has been saying that Vettel has had such a disappointing start to the season that he's frustrated and he doesn't know what to do and probably he's a little too ragged with all his decisions and his...
Possibly. I mean, he's not had the dominating start that Red Bulls have had in the last couple of seasons.
Correct.
So.
Okay, McLaren and Mercedes fighting for first round Saturday. I don't see the pace suddenly going down so badly on Sunday. There has to be something which is wrong. There's some hinge in the middle.
Tyres? I think it's just down to tyres and the tyre management. Also, if you've seen, just speaking of the McLaren drivers, you know, we've seen Lewis do fabulously well on a Saturday and then, you know, Button just better him on the Sunday. It's just down to tyres and the highly degradable Pirelli tyres and who manages them better.
Also, I saw that Nico, in both these races, has taken one extra stop than Michael and has still ended up behind him.
Frankly, on Nico Rosberg, more than those pit stops, what I would like to, you know, speak about is the fact that in qualifying both the times,
uh-huh.
he had a driver error on his hot lap. So We don't know if he's cracking under pressure, because I think Michael's been phenomenally quick, and you know, he's shown the pace that people have questioned in the last couple of seasons.
Absolutely.
So I just hope Nico proves everyone wrong in Shanghai, because he is a very good driver.
I was so happy to see Michael in the press conference on the Saturday, but sadly on a Sunday it went all wrong. Grosjean, I hate him. I don't know what he was trying to do there.
He's just done four laps in the first two races of the season.
Absolutely.
And I think, again, it's down to experience. He's really quick, no doubt. You know, he's got a quick partner in him as well. It's just down to experience, because both times, I think in Australia, of course, it was not down to his error necessarily. But in Malaysia, I'm sure it was down to his error. But you can imagine, four laps in two races, that's all he's done.
And Kimi's done so well. I'm so happy for Kimi that he's picking up the tires so well. And he's just looking a lot more comfortable than
Grosjean. It's been so simple for Kimi, because he's come, he's driven quick, and he's kept shut about it. So it's expected, you know, natural talent.
I personally still feel in the midfield, Williams is better than the Sauber. But in the bottom teams, there is Caterham, Marussia, HRT. HRT actually starting their season in Malaysia. Marussia, not seen anywhere. Caterham, retiring one car invariably every time. How are they looking like?
I mean, currently, as it stands, it's Caterham followed by Marussia, followed by HRT. I do suspect this season Marussia could end up challenging a Caterham, you know, for third last position, if I may say so. But, you know, frankly, they're struggling. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
It's not just down to talent. It's down to the amount of money that's available and et cetera, et cetera. But I just really wish they join the midfield fight, which is really, really competitive.
How long do you think the suffocating Massa will survive in Ferrari? I mean, Ferrari have got to do something about it.
My heart says all season before he's replaced, but my mind says...
Silverstone?
Possibly, you never know.
So, how's the midfield looking like? Because personally, I feel that Maldonado and Williams are still the stronger package.
If you see what happened in Australia and what happened in Malaysia, midfield is separated by a tenth of a second. I think P12 to P16 went all the way just down to maybe a tenth of a second, which is close. Which also means that a tenth would either mean that you're at the top of the midfield or at the bottom of the midfield, you know. I think the Toro Rossos in Australia are a good example. They were at the top of the midfield.
Correct.
And in Malaysia, they were at the bottom of the midfield. So it's really competitive. And it's going to be exciting to see who comes out on top.
Absolutely. The funny fact about the Malaysian Grand Prix result is, in the top 10 cars, there were 9 different teams.
And Sahara Force India, I mean, only team that had a double finish. But, you know, sticking to the midfield, what I would like to, you know, bring about is... it's going to be competitive.
Absolutely.
For the next couple of races. Now what's going to happen is teams will be involved in a development battle, because, you know, we will see teams that will develop through the season. How good or bad, we'll only know. But the midfield section is where all the action is going to be.
Absolutely. We're looking for action. There is a little break between the Chinese Grand Prix and then the European leg. So we hope and wish that our races come back soon, and they come back gunning with a lot of pace, a lot of new wings and those plastic pieces and the carbon fibers. So thank you so much, Kunal, for being with us.
Thank you, Rishi.
This is the exhaust pipe to the Formula One technology. This is the information mecca, as you may call it. Our F1 blog, if you have any comment to give, a question to ask, anything, any suggestion, you may write it down in the link attached below. Till then, keep listening to us, and you can listen to us again and again and again. We don't charge for it. Thank you so much, Kunal.